We need to realize and we need to understand that when we make a decision to follow Christ with all of our heart, when we make a decision not to play church anymore, but more going, you know what, Ben, I'm ready to act like the church, we can count on opposition. The enemy is not happy, and he wants to shipwreck our faith. He wants to make life miserable. Tonight, church, we're going to get a glimpse of the driving force behind those who want to see us fall and those who want to see us fail. In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Welcome back to In Christ Radio and our Hope Restored series, our verse-by-verse study through the book of Nehemiah. Last time, we saw God's people overcome external opposition through prayer, wisdom, and perseverance. Today, we discover that the greatest challenge doesn't always come from outside. They often come from within. Our message from Nehemiah 4:10-14, titled, Dealing with Internal Opposition. The people begin to lose heart. They say the strength of the laborers is failing. The rubble seems overwhelming, and the work feels impossible. Then the reports of the enemy's threats only adds to their fear. Nehemiah recognizes that before the wall can be rebuilt, hope has to be rebuilt. He reminds the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. Their focus has shifted from God's greatness to the size of their problems. External opposition attacks our circumstances, and internal opposition attacks our confidence. Nehemiah teaches us that victory begins by remembering who God is. Discouragement grows when we focus on the rubble. Faith grows when we focus on the Lord. Today, let's ask ourselves, what rubble in your life has captured your attention more than God's promises? And what would change if you deliberately remembered His faithfulness today? Let's join Pastor Ben in Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 10 through 14, in today's lesson, Dealing with Internal Opposition.
Nehemiah chapter 4 is where we're going to be this evening. This is a very important study because I'm going to talk to you tonight about opposition. Last week, if you recall, our study was on external opposition. And tonight, we're going to be looking at this internal opposition. We need to realize and we need to understand that when we make a decision to follow Christ with all of our heart, when we make a decision not to play church anymore, not to, you know what I'm talking about, but more going, you know what, Ben, I'm ready to act like the church. We can count on opposition. The enemy is not happy, and he wants to shipwreck our faith. He wants to make life miserable. And tonight, church, we're going to get a glimpse of the driving force behind those who want to see us fall and those who want to see us fail. So, Nehemiah chapter 4, give me a good amen if you're there.
Amen.
Amen. A man was sleeping at night in his cabin when suddenly his room filled with light and the Savior, the Lord Jesus, appeared to him. The Lord told the man he had work for him, and showed him a very large rock in front of his cabin. The Lord explained to the man that he was to push against the rock with all of his might. This man did. Day after day after day, for many years, he toiled from sunup to sundown, his shoulders set squarely against the cold, massive surface of the unmoving rock, pushing it with all of his might. And each night, the man returned to his cabin sore, worn out, feeling that his whole day had been spent in vain. Seeing that the man was showing signs of discouragement, the adversary decided to enter the picture by placing thoughts into the man's very mind. You've been pushing against the rock for a long time, and it hasn't budged. Why kill yourself over this? You're never going to move it. This gave the man the impression that the task was impossible, and that he was a failure. These thoughts discouraged and disheartened the man. Why kill yourself over this? He thought. I'll just put in my time. I'll just give the minimum effort, and that'll be good enough. And that is what he had planned to do until one day he decided to take the matter of prayer and take his troubled thoughts to the Lord. Lord, he said, I've labored long and hard in your service, putting all my strength to do what you've asked. Yet after all this time, I've not even budged that rock by half a millimeter. What is wrong? Why am I failing? Well, the Lord responded compassionately. I told you that your task was to push against the rock with all of your strength, which you have done. Never once did I mention to you that I expected you to move it. Your task was to push. And now you come to me with your strength spent, thinking that you failed. But is that really so? Look at yourself. Your arms are strong and muscled. Your back is amazing. And your hands are calloused from constant pressure. And your legs have become massive and hard. Through opposition, you have grown much, and your abilities now surpass all which you used to have. Yet you haven't moved the rock. But your calling was to be obedient and to push and to exercise your faith and to trust in my wisdom. This you have done. I, my friend, will now move the rock. You see, that story just moves in our heart when we think about opposition. When we think about walking with Jesus, surrendering our life to him, having that wonderful, just amazing experience, we can expect opposition. And when it comes to opposition, when it comes to, well, let's just say this, when it comes to Christian living, when it comes to that growth and that service, and one thing I'm reminded about is that growth is not necessarily this high. You don't grow tall, you grow wide, and you're still more dependent on God versus you're, oh, I've got this down, I'm good, I've been walking with Jesus. That's not how it works. But when you grow and you're in this service, there's one thing we can count on, and it's opposition and discouragement. And I know you didn't come to Wednesday night service going, oh, great, he's going to talk about discouragement, but it's here in the Word. And if you recall last week, William Ward once said about opposition and discouragement, and I quote, discouragement is dissatisfaction with the past, distaste for the present, and distrust in the future. Think about that again. Discouragement is dissatisfaction with the past. I can't make peace with my past. I'm upset with the past. Why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? Man, I'm not where I want to be. He says discouragement comes when you have a distaste for the present. I'm not where I am. And he says discouragement comes from distrust of the future. I don't know what the future holds. Now, tonight, we learned something that William Ward did not tell us. You go, what's that? I mean, that's pretty inclusive. Discouragement and opposition comes from those enemies who are seeking to do you harm. If you're taking note, there are two kinds of opposition in life. We looked at one last week. It was the external, that which comes from the outside. You remember the two fellas who showed up when the walls began to be built? You go, who were they? It was a fellow by the name of Sanballat, and the other was Tobiah. Tobiah and Sanballat come in. And you and I, we can probably name the Tobias and the Sanballats in our lives, those external oppositions when we begin to get really in tune with God. The Bible says when they heard the wall was being rebuilt, here's what happened. They were furious. They were furious. The Bible says they were indignant, and they were just really upset. And really, it was more than just going, oh, well, you know what? You're not going to make anything happen. Nanny, nanny, but it's not. They were upset. They were really upset. This was not going down. I guess at this point in the Bible study, I would raise my hand and I'd go, Lord, why are they so upset that we're just trying to build the wall? But they were furious and they were indignant. I'm not so sure why they were upset about the wall in Jerusalem being built, but I bet his anger stemmed from being named Sanballat. The second opposition, the second kind of opposition is not external, guys, it's internal. That which comes from the inside, those closest to you. And that's what we're going to look at this evening. Okay, so to get a good understanding of what's going on, here's what we're going to do, guys. We're going to read verses 1 through 9, and then we'll jump into verse 10, okay? Nehemiah chapter 4, 1 through 9, and says this, "But it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he was furious and very indignant, and he mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, 'What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heap of rubbish, stones that are burned?'" Now think about what he's saying. Guys, he's very upset, but he's mocking them. He's mocking them, and we can take this a little bit closer to home when we realize that when you and I begin our walks with God, when you and I are serious about the things of the Lord, when you and I have made a commitment to live a pure and holy life, when you and I, there's the very things that the enemy comes out. The enemy comes out and he wants to mock you, and he whispers in your ears and he says, "Hey man, you're never going to do any better. You're going to mess up. You're not." And he does all of these things. And if that wasn't enough, his friend Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him. And notice what he says. And in a mocking way, you can almost hear it from the text. "Whatever they build, even if a fox goes up on it, it will break down their stone." In other words, you can't even do this right. And you can hear when you begin to pray, you can hear the enemy going, "You're not even praying right. You don't even know how to pray. And even if your walk got off the ground just a little bit, it's not real." And this is exactly what's happening here. Verse 4 says, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach on their own heads, and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity, and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for you have provoked you in anger before the builders." Nehemiah says, "So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night." So that would be overcoming external opposition. He said, "We had a mind to work. We had a mind to work." Do you guys see that? He said, "We joined together. Even though it was only halfway done, we had a mind to work." And I think that really needs to be the heart of the Christian, to love people back to life, to encourage them into a walk that's pleasing to Jesus. Oftentimes there are people with walks that their wall is only half the height. They're still building. They don't know what they're doing. They're different places. And I don't want to be the guy who's on the other side going, "Come on, why isn't your wall any higher? What is wrong? Keep going." I want to be the guy going, "Come on, you can do this." "Yeah, Pastor, but it's only half. I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere." No, you're getting anywhere. And I want to look at those things in somebody else's life, and I want to encourage them in those things. Not that you and I are open and condoning and be like, "Oh yeah, sin is okay." But we're going, "No, come on. God has so much more for you. God has so much more for you." And they were joined together, right? And they had a mind to work. But one of the things that jumped out of the text before we jump into our text was that they prayed. They prayed. They were praying. And that's what we must do. When the opposition comes, we pray, "Lord, Lord." How should we overcome external oppositions? Notice, they set a watch against them. Not only were they working, but they were watching too. They were watching too. Okay. And now we come to verse 10, and we're reminded that all we have faced is the second type of opposition. You go, what is it? It's the internal opposition and discouragement. Notice verse 10 with me, guys. We're going to dissect this so good. Look at verse 10. It says, "Then Judah said, 'The strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we're not able to build the wall.'" Do you guys see that? I want to read it to you in the New Living Translation. I think it kind of pops a little bit better. It says, "Then the people of Judah began to complain. The workers are getting tired, and there's so much trash to be moved. and we will never be able to build the walls by ourselves. Your attention, please. Look what's happening here in verse 10. The tribe of Judah was one of the strongest tribes in Israel. For you see, in Judah were they were leaders. But here we see them greatly discouraged. Discouragement, church, is a key weapon in Satan's arsenal. I want you to put on your thinking caps for just a second. It was discouragement that kept Israel from entering into the promised land at Kadesh Barnea. It was discouragement. And we see that's what Satan uses against us as well. His goal is to get you to be discouraged, to lose faith, to lose heart. I want you to notice that last part of verse 10. He says, we are not able to build the wall. This was the cry of the heart of the people of Judah. They're discouraged. It's not enough that they had this external opposition coming. Now the people were looking at it and going, oh, wow. You can hear the word is complain, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But can you imagine going out to your job every day and hear complainers? Wait a minute, we have that already, don't we? There's often people at our jobs complaining. Oh, I don't like this. And we have a little bit idea of what's going on here. But I want to remind you that as we're studying the book, as we're digging in just a little bit, here's my heart as we study the book of Nehemiah. I pray for us that God would first and foremost build the foundation of our lives. Build the foundation. I was sitting at my table this morning. I was thinking about how the world went. And I know this is not a place for politics, but I realize what's going on in New York, and I realize in some of the key states, and my heart is breaking because we can see a shift in what this world is going to be. And where does that leave us? I know my foundation needs to be solid. I don't know what the world is going to look like in 4 years, 8 years, 10 years, if the Lord tarries. But I know this. Come on, somebody. I want my foundation to be solid. I don't want to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. I don't want to be following the crowd. I want to be solid in God's word. I want to have that affection for Jesus, man, to love him, to stand for him, and to walk side by side with him. My heart, guys, as we go through this word, is that we would be able to build our lives on what he wants and not what we want. The reason you're here and the reason you're saved and the purpose that God has given you is so that your life would glorify him in everything you do. Everything you do. Whatever job you have, you're glorifying to the Lord. And you, I know many of you, I've talked to many of you, your jobs are filled with opposition. The enemy is coming this way. You know what's right and you stand your ground. This is what the Lord wants us to do. My prayer is that he would work a miracle in our lives even today to restore relationships, to bring our prodigals back. Those who go, and I don't want anything to do with God, and it breaks our hearts. Lord, do something. You're our only hope. I would pray that the Lord would heal in men friendships that have been broken. I would pray that the Lord would restore marriages that have been battered by the enemy. If you don't think your marriage is under attack, you need to wake up. The enemy wants to destroy marriages. That is the closest thing that we have to our king and us as the bride. And he wants to destroy that. And yet, even in ministry, even as a church, or any rebuilding at work, at home, your marriage, your personal life, there's always the threat of discouragement. There's always times when you and I say, I am done. I quit. I can't go on anymore. I don't want to do this. Let me tell you something about the spiritual attacks. And I want you to write this down because I'm going to give you four reasons here in just a second that we get discouraged. But I want you to see that we need to realize and we need to watch people within. Watch people within. Judah's getting discouraged. They're really super bummed. The problem with that is they're bumming out other people. And that's how discouragement spreads. You walk out to the wall and you go, man, it's only half built, man. Hey, Ben, how you doing? Not good, bro. Why? Look, the wall's only half. I've been working hard, and I've got to work and watch at the same time. And yeah, you know what, bro? You're right. What do you think God wants to do? Man, I don't know. I don't know. And I've got to watch within. Because again, think about this. You go, what's that? The people of Judah, what did they do? They began to complain. And that's a sure sale time that people are getting discouraged. They start to complain. If you've ever hung out with negative people, it's not very long that you become negative. Can I get a witness? And I'm not talking about somebody who's just a little down. I'm talking about negative people 2.0. No matter what is going on in the world, it's always bad. And I had that happen to me. The very first time, new pastor, I'm in Israel. I took a couple from our church. We went to Israel. We went with another church. I left my wife here, went to Israel. I'm with this couple. And this couple complained about everything. They complained about the airline. They complained about the food. They complained about the hotel. They complained about the bus transfer. They complained. You know what I realized? 3 days in, I was complaining about everything. And the Lord was like, slapped me upside the head spiritually and goes, you're in Israel. What is wrong with you? And I took, whoa, you're right. What do I got to complain about? I'm in Gaza. And I had to, come on, somebody. You had to distance myself. Because what happens, guys, is that as we start to complain, and that's the operative word here. That's the operative word. Here's what I want you to see. I want you to watch people within. I'm not talking about, oh, you know, but I'm saying if your circle is not pushing you to Jesus, if your gang, your peeps, if they're not pushing you and they're complaining and they're bummed and they're discouraged, you're going to follow that way. And sometimes, church, we have to look at the people in our lives, the people that we've allowed in, and we'll have to go, okay, this is what's happening to me. They're complaining. What are they saying? Judah, the workers are getting tired. Okay. Judah, there's too much trash to be moved. Okay. Judah, we'll never build the walls by ourselves. Here's what I want to tell you. Guys, jot this down. Watch those who are not running in the same direction as you. Watch those that are not running in the same direction. If you have friends, they should be encouraging you. If you have family, they should be encouraging you in your walk with the Lord. Now, I'm not saying you have to dump them out, right, and be like, well, I'm never going to talk to you because you. I'm just saying you need to be careful. You need to be careful. So I want to give you 4 reasons from our text that we get discouraged. And they all begin with the letter F. F. So you can jot these down. These are 4 reasons we get discouraged from our text. You ready? The first one you can jot down is fatigue. Fatigue. You go, fatigue? Yeah. Here, let me define what it means. It's extreme tiredness, typically resulting from a mental or physical exertion or illness. You go, where do you see fatigue? Look at 10A. Then Judah said, the strength of the laborers are failing. You go, Ben, what does that mean? In other words, they're worn out and they're tired. They're tired. In Christ.
That brings us to the end of this episode of In Christ. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, and his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompt him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days. A feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah, how he cared about traditions past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.